Now, Evangelist Winston Tye.
My subject is entitled, The Sword of the Spirit. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, 17th verse, we find these words, And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Apostle Paul is talking about the well-armored man. The Apostle did not say that the Word of God is the sword that the Holy Spirit uses. The Word of God is the sword that we must use in standing against the wiles of the devil. The well-armored man must take the sword of the Spirit and wield it. It is argued that the Holy Spirit, apart from the Word, helps the preacher to understand the written Word. This raises the question, what could the Holy Spirit direct him to preach that he could not have learned in the Word of God? The claim of preaching by direct impression of the Holy Spirit, apart from the Word, implies that the Word of God is incomplete. Holy men of God taught the Christian religion to the world. They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The words of those inspired men have come down to us in the Holy Scriptures. Therefore, we appeal to the Word of God itself as the source of revealed truth on all questions. Paul said, For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Furthermore, every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. The necessary inference is that the Word of God is complete, adequate, and sufficient. The knowledge of the Holy Spirit, God, Christ, church, and salvation comes only from the Word of God. Were it not for the Bible, we could never know whether there be any Holy Spirit. It is through faith that God dwells within the heart of the Christian. Is it possible for God to dwell within the heart of anyone without faith? Christ dwells within our hearts through faith. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. No one claims the personal indwelling of Christ in the heart. The Holy Spirit dwells within the heart through the Word. The Christians in the churches of Galatia had received the Holy Spirit by the hearing of faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. So the Holy Spirit does not dwell in us personally. The Bible does not say that the Spirit dwells in us apart from the Word. It is not my purpose to impress you in the preaching of personal experience. It is my purpose to impress you with the power, the simplicity, and the authority of the Word of God. Holy Spirit baptism was a promise to the apostles alone. John the Baptizer said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there cometh he that is mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. Luke chapter 3, verses 16-17. John's announcement applied only to the apostles. This is determined by the Lord himself in Acts chapter 1, verses 4-5. And being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, you heard from me. For John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence. This statement is all the evidence we need to prove that the Holy Spirit baptism was a special promise to the apostles alone. It was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verses 1-4. Now John said, he shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. What was the baptism in fire? The answer to that question is found in Luke chapter 3, verse 17. Whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly to cleanse his threshing floor, and to gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire. The wheat gathered into his garner designates the Jews who accepted Christ. The chaff designates the Jews who rejected Christ. The burning of the chaff with unquenchable fire specifies the total destruction of the nation of Israel. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him. Ye know him, for he abideth with you, and shall be in you. John chapter 14, verses 16-17. The Comforter, promised only to the apostles of Christ, was the measure of the Holy Spirit necessary for the revelation of truth. The functions ascribed to the Comforter is proof of this affirmation. The promise of the Comforter is twofold. He shall teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you. John chapter 14, verse 26. Therefore, the Holy Spirit of inspiration enabled the apostles to preach and write without error in their teaching. Speaking of the apostles, Luke declared that they should be clothed with power from on high. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. It was on the day of Pentecost that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 2 and 4. So the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were clothed with power. This is the Holy Spirit baptism. This is complete inspiration and was promised only to the apostles of Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Galatians. He sought to restrain the influence of Judaizing teachers. Like unto our age, men of that day were not satisfied with New Testament Christianity. They wanted to bring something over from the Old Testament. They wanted a mixture of Judaism and Christianity. To check this evil movement, Paul discusses the relation of the law to the gospel and proves that we are justified not by works of the law, but by obedience of faith. He affirmed that the gospel which he preached was not after man. Paul proved that he had the right to teach and instruct the church by establishing his apostleship. But in addition to this, the letter was written to encourage the Christians to live faithfully by walking after the Spirit. Paul said, if we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Galatians 5:25. If we profess to live by the Spirit, we must demonstrate it by walking after the Spirit. It is not possible to live by the Spirit and walk after the Spirit unless we live by the Word of God. Speaking of the church, the Apostle said, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and were all made to drink of one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. It is by and through the teaching of the Spirit that we are baptized into the church. Is it possible to drink of one Spirit and reject the teaching of the Spirit? Follow that system of teaching given by Christ and the apostles, and you will follow words of the Spirit. The Apostle Peter said, repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. When a believer repents and is baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, his past sins are forgiven, and he enjoys all the blessings of the Holy Spirit. Man must recognize the two approaches to happiness. One is physical, and the other is spiritual. We are certain that one is right, and the other is wrong. The Lord taught this, and our experience confirms it. Jesus said, ye cannot serve God and mammon. God bless you, my friend.